to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives. You know it, I know it. Songs have magical powers to transform people's souls, and these are the songs we want to hear about. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and in this episode, we'll talk to two artists, Benjamin Booker and Laura Patino. Laura fronts the Austin band Holiday Mountain. Both of them talked about songs that spoke to them musically and thematically and helped them as artists figure out what they wanted to say with their music. First up, Benjamin Booker. He came out with his debut self-titled record in 2014 and blew everyone away with these really emotionally raw, like I'd call it blues rock, but that's an undersell because there's punk in there and some of his melodies are incredibly hooky. I mean, let's just say he did his own thing and nailed it. And we here at KUTX are big Benjamin Booker fans. Well, he came to Austin for Fun, Fun, Fun Fest and sat down with me backstage to talk about a song that helped him and is helping him figure out what his next release will sound like. So here he is, Benjamin Booker.
A few years ago, this album came out on David Byrne's label called Lukabop, called Who is William Onyebor? And there's a song on the album, the whole album is incredible, but there's a song on it called, like, Why I Go to War. It's, like, a great one, I think.
Why go to war? Why not find peace? Why go to war? Why not find peace? In this
one. I don't know. I guess, like, it was, like, a big... turning point for me. It's like this guy who's like really mysterious from like Africa from the 70s, who's playing like this like groovy kind of like psychedelic kind of stuff with like weird like stuff like that, but it's also like very like political music. And I guess like I haven't in like the past like done that kind of stuff, but I think that that album has just been like slowly creeping into like the stuff that I've been doing recently. And just like the idea that you can have music that is fun and like groove based and like people can dance to, but it's also like coming at you with like a message, like that kind of thing.
You just want another guy, stop a bullet for you. But you never, never want to stop a bullet.
And so I don't know, that like was just like, whoa, you can really, I've never heard somebody like do it so well, like, you know what I mean? So I think that's like definitely the song that was just like, wow.
Excellent.
Mind blown.
Yeah. I mean, so, and you've been making music, has it been mostly about like thematically about personal
stuff? Yeah, it's been really personal stuff. And like, I mean, like I guess it's like hard to like there's like so many things happening like all the time, and like it's hard to, I guess, sometimes talk about things that are happening like around you, like non-personal stuff, like political stuff and like social issues without being like too preachy, you know what I mean?
It is,
but
it is.
But that song doesn't feel like that to me. It feels like it's coming from like a real place, and I guess that was like, oh, there is a way to do it and for it to be right, but it's maybe not the easiest thing to do.
Tell me why you like war. You want another guy to stop a bullet for you. But you'll never, 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 never like to stop a bullet for another guy.
There's not really that many bands like talking about like very political, I guess, like artists these days, you know what I mean? When I was a kid, like Rage Against the Machine was like a huge band.
The heart is a co-op, terror rage stretching, quenching the thirst of the power dawn. That five-sided fist of gone.
I mean, when I was born, like, I mean, you had like Public Enemy and stuff like that.
Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
But I don't, is there somebody doing that kind of stuff nowadays?
I mean, I feel like less and less in mainstream music. So yeah. you were a kid in the 90s, obviously.
90s kid, yeah.
And the 90s kid, there were all these like for me, there were all these like women talking about women, you know. And then there was NWA, there was Rage Against the Machine, people who were like actively fighting the power structure, and now...
Well, when I was a kid, I grew up in Florida, and so, like, the hometown band was, like, against me, and, like, not so much now, but, like, when they were younger, like, first starting off, it was, like, very, like, I don't know, it was, like, intense stuff. Like, all the songs were very, like, they had songs about Condoleezza Rice and, like, just, like, all these, like, because, I mean, like, they were, like, for me, like, the punk band of, like, the Bush administration kind of thing, so it's just, like, that's who, like, all the skate kids and people were going to for, like, all their news and stuff like that.
Rushing change under a Bush doctrine. Democratic installations. Constant war for constant soldiers. What are we gonna do now? De-escalation through military force. Increase the pressure. Oh, Condoleezza, what should we do about the situation?
That's cool. I mean, like, I think that they were, like, following, like, The Clash and, like, those kind of bands. And it's, like, I don't know. I guess it used to be that, like, kids would get their news from, like, bands, you know what I mean? Like, their views and that kind of stuff. And it's, just, like, I guess that's disappeared, like, a little bit.
I think so. I think there's so much going on, and it's hard to, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why it is. Like, why are people less political in music?
I guess it's, like, scarier now, maybe, because, like, there's so much, like, competition now. And, like, I think that it's, like, scary for people maybe to, like, talk about, like, the things that they care about and, like, the way that they feel, because they don't want to, like, upset people, because, like, everybody's, like, fighting to, like, just make it as a band. And, like, so
if you're fighting to get heard, you don't want to alienate people by,
right, yeah,
like, talking, yeah, about something that they might make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, and everybody gets so uncomfortable about, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
it's just like politics. It's just like, please not talk about it.
Like, do you think that there's two things kind of entering your music, like, more of, like, a dancey synth thing, because you've been doing mostly guitar driven
yeah, music. I mean, there's definitely, like, more I'm from that, I guess, in, like, other bands. Like, there's another band from Africa from back then called Witch. Or, like, there's a Caribbean, like, funk band called, like, The Beginning of the End. They have an album called Funky Nassau, which is really cool.
What's it called, Funky Nassau?
Yeah, yeah.
Nassau's gone funky. Nassau's gone soul. We've got a dug on beat now. We're gonna call our very own.
But I mean, like, that kind of, like, I've been listening to, I guess, it's just, like, kind of, like, it's, like, soul music, I guess, mixed with, like, psych music. And, like, I guess, yeah, that's been, like, something that's really interested me. And that, like, the last couple years, that's pretty much all I've been listening to. So I feel like the next record I make will definitely reflect that and be different a lot.
Mini skirts, maxi skirts, and afro hairdo. People doing their own thing. Don't care about me or you.
Do you know then thematically kind of the things you want to talk about or the things you want to address?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, it's there's always going to be, like, personal things, but I mean, like, I think, like, now that I'm, like, getting older, I think it's easier to look at things from, like, a bigger perspective. And, like, from just, like, traveling the last couple years and, like, seeing so many places and, like, going to different spots and stuff. I mean, like, I don't know. I think it'd be, like, really weird not to, like, talk about that kind of stuff after so much, like, touring and stuff like that, you know?
Like, you've seen so much and you've experienced so much, and it would be strange to just...
To just continue to just talk about myself all the time, yeah.
So, the next Benjamin Booker record will be maybe more political, maybe more dance, psych...
I don't know how, like, well, I think it's just gonna be more, probably less about me than the first album, which was just, like, me coming out of a bummer period and, like, whining a bunch. I don't know. We'll see what it's like the next time.
It's so interesting, the perspective that that an artist has on their own music, like, after you've played songs enough and you're like,
yeah,
wait,
well,
what?
Yeah,
like,
it was,
I'm
really
not
weird
that guy anymore.
Yeah, well, it was really weird at the beginning, because, like, I wrote the songs pretty much all of them before I knew that they were going to be put out, and, like, had pretty much wrote them to give out to friends and stuff like that. So when it came time to, like, actually play them for people, it was like, oh gosh,
like, wait a second, wait.
So now, I mean, that, I guess that also works into it, now that I know that the record is going to be, like, heard by other people. Like, I mean, that definitely affects whether you like it or not, the way that you write songs, you know.
Well, and that's interesting too, because now that you know other people are going to hear it, it's like, well, what I want to hear is, like,
music with a message and also with a beat. So what I want to give to other people is that same.
Well, there, I mean, there's the whole, like, I remember taking like this Harlem Renaissance class when I was in college, and like we were reading about like all these like writers and like people who were like writers but also like activists and like stuff like that. And it's like there's like a lot of debate over like if you are like an artist and you have like a platform and you're in front of people every day, like it seems like kind of a waste to like not be saying anything and just like singing songs about girls all the time, you know?
Have you ever heard Nina Simone's Backlash Blues?
I haven't heard that song, but I watched her documentary recently on Netflix and like had no idea. I knew that she was like pretty like politically active and like had some angry years, but I didn't realize how aggressive she was with it.
Well, there's this part of Backlash Blues, and she does it differently every time, but she talks about like she'll be like, my friend Langston Hughes told me that like Nina, like once you're up in front of them, like you have to like bring it to them.
That
like,
was one of those people that we talked about. Yeah, yeah.
When Langston Hughes died, oh, he told me many years before he said, Nina, keep on working till they open up the door. One of these days when they open it, the doors are open wide, make sure you sock it to them where they live, where they have no place to hide.
Or like if you look at people like James Baldwin or like those kind of people, it's just like, I mean, they're known just as much for their work, like social work, as their like art, like their writing and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know. It's important to me, I guess, to like not just be an entertainer. You know what I mean? Just like a song and dance man up there. Like.
It's there needs to be something more at the core of what you're doing.
Yeah, which is what I'm trying. I'm trying to do it.
Violent Shiver from Benjamin Booker, and I loved hearing how this recording came about, how it was really written and recorded without other people hearing it as a factor in its creation. And now that he knows he has an audience, well, the stakes are upped a bit. Hey, if he's moving in a William Onabor or beginning of the end direction, well, I personally think that's a killer direction to move in. Before we move on to Laura Patino, I'd like to ask that if you enjoy the podcast, please take a minute to head to iTunes and leave a rating or a review. We at Team This Song, and I say team because we are a team of interviewers and editors and now social media helper outers, we love to hear what you think. Seeing a new rating or reading a new review makes us all swell up with podcast pride. Plus, it helps us in the realm of iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to become a subscriber, and that way you can get next week's episode with Jose Gonzalez and Leopold and His Fiction delivered right to you. Next up, Laura Patino. She fronts an Austin band called Holiday Mountain that does electronic music in a style that I can really get behind. It's incredibly catchy and super weird in the best way, and she came into KUTX to tell me about a song and an artist that helped her find her way as a woman in this often anti-woman culture, and as a musician. So here she is, Laura Patino.
The song I wanted to focus on is called Bird Flu by M.I.A. Big on the underground, what's the point of knocking me down? Everyone knows I'm already good on the ground. And that's the first track off her album, Kala. And I think it came out in 2007, but for so many years, it's been like an album that's just offered me more and more strength in different areas of my life, or just feeling powerful. So I feel like she was kind of an initial female music role model that kind of got me in touch with feeling like it's okay to feel like powerful and aggressive.
Ooh.
And that's invigorating and something that women, it's okay, we're allowed to feel that, you know.
Selfish little romance.
Yeah, I mean, so it came out in 2007, and did you hear it kind of when it came out?
I think so, yeah. I remember in high school getting onto one of the songs. It was sort of a Pixies cover, and I really liked the Pixies then, so I was like, this is awesome.
Where is my mind?
But back in high school, I don't think I was really in a place to appreciate electronic music. But then in college, I really started getting into that more. But I think I was like struggling with like body image issues a lot more back in college. And that was one of those albums that like always made me feel powerful and kind of helped me make that transition to like taking care of my body and feeling like strong and healthy. And I think there were just like a lot of depictions around me of like women not looking strong, like strong, you know? So
yeah, totally.
It really inspired me.
But you said like in high school you were kind of into the Pixies or?
Oh, totally. Mostly punk, just like anything with that punk attitude. That was just like a time where it was really invigorating to like discover letting out aggression or letting out feelings of like feeling misunderstood in like a creative format and having that empower you rather than just kind of like isolate you. It definitely gave me a platform to just exercise how I was feeling in a way that ultimately made me a lot of friends and just a whole idea of like being in a mosh pit with people. And you know, I've heard this didn't happen for boys. I heard maybe it's just because I'm a girl. But if somebody fell, or maybe it was just Denver, Colorado, you know, back when I was a teenager there, like if somebody fell, everybody picked them up. And like, I just loved that attitude of we're all kind of experiencing this aggressive energy together. And we're all kind of moving as one unit, you know. But yeah. Sometimes you'll get punched in the head, but like not on purpose. A lot of it was like not of my generation, like Operation Ivy. The Mighty Boz tones. The Scottalites. All that stuff. I think what originally got me into it was Bob Marley, which is like a kind of a strange transition from one to the next. But at the end of the day, Bob Marley kind of has a punk attitude too, of like speaking the truth.
Everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation.
You know.
Yeah. And I guess that is really punk rock. Like, he's speaking the truth. And reggae and ska are pretty well enmeshed.
You can see that.
Ways. Yeah. And then you go to college and you kind of find yourself like a little opened up to electronic music. Was that, mm-hmm. Do you think that was because you played keyboards? Like you kind of had an entry into that or?
Yeah, it was a perfect, piano turned out to be kind of the perfect instrument to write on, especially nowadays that like a MIDI keyboard is just essentially like a piano keyboard, but with a lot more control. And honestly, like the way that I changed from maybe feeling punk to feeling electronic it's just like once you start hearing it, it's almost like a drug, like coffee or something, where then you're like, I always need this level of clarity, of tone and stuff. Otherwise, it just feels like something's lacking. Like, I feel that with coffee for sure. but just the like sounds, like the level of depth and like dimension to electronic music, like just became kind of more and more addictive to my ears. Yeah, it just took me to, like, a deeper place, I think.
And do you think that you were kind of, like, at that time in college, you said you were having some, like, body image issues.
Yeah.
So do you think you were actively searching for something to
give you a different perspective? Like,
absolutely. I still am always looking, because I feel like there are just images all around us that depict what a woman should be, but it's usually in a very aspirational sense, where like it's being used to sell something, you know, like a woman's youth is being used to sell like a fantasy of how we wish we could feel, but it's like this illusion, like it's like this thing that doesn't actually exist. So I guess I'm still always looking for like women who are being real and breaking through that. And yeah, otherwise I think it's ultimately kind of poisonous, and I think we've been taught to be like obedient in a lot of ways that feel really good to break out of.
Yeah. And so when you heard MIA, did you kind of hear what you had been listening, like you had been looking for? You heard?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just this like strength, and then looking up just what her image was also really exciting, that she didn't just have like a boob job and like, you know, that she just is being her, she's being herself like 100%. Like the world she created is so unique, but it's like a place that feels sustainable. Like you want to be there for an hour. Like her albums, I'll just listen to start to finish like over and over again. Starting as a musician, I had a lot of people telling me that it's cool, I don't know like what you're doing, I don't know what it is, but like you have something going on. And sometimes that still is something people tell me, which I feel like that's, yeah, that's one reason I'm so attracted to MIA, is she's like, she's doing something nobody else is doing, and that's why it's awesome.
She has like a point of view.
Yeah.
Which is really important to...
Oh my God, it's the most important, yeah. Yeah, not just for women, just all around. I mean, I really resonate with the weirdest people when I go through a town. Those are the people that I remember, you know, years later, just like the ones who really were being themselves. Like they're the most inspiring people. So I don't know. I just love being around weird people like that, where they're so comfortable with how they really feel, even if it's super different than what we're being taught is the right thing to do, you know, or feel.
I mean, it sounds like what you've been doing is kind of coming into your own, like accepting yourself for who you are and what you want to do and the music that you want to make and the image that you want to have. And you have this new record that you recorded last summer. So do you think that that's like the next step? You were talking earlier before we turned on the mic about how you were like, we just want to make a record that we would want to
turn
play,
up to turn with up our to friends.
Yeah. So is that the consideration? Is there a deeper vibe of like kind of acceptance and openness to what you're doing?
Yeah, I think that's ultimately like that idea of being at a great party with your friends is that ultimate idea of feeling alive and feeling young and just being okay with having fun and doing whatever feels good. And sometimes it's like the more responsibilities you take on as you get older, that just that state of mind is like challenging to find. So it was really awesome to just like send that intention and put that intention out for a month of like, whoa, let's go, like every morning. It's like raging.
Controlling what I can't. The thought of you just makes me wanna dance. How do you do what you do with your eyes? I realize I can't assume anything.
And below me you can hear Bump That Bass by Holiday Mountain. And hey, don't you wanna just turn it up? Laura and I actually talked for a long time, and we had to edit out a lot, and one bit that we couldn't fit in but that I loved in the moment was her describing to me the way she wanted people to react to her music. She called it the dead fish dance. It's when you're so excited that you jump in the air like a little kid and uncontrollably flip your hands and arms and legs back and forth. It's like a super bodily expression of
yay! And that's the feeling she wants to give to people.
And I wholeheartedly support her in that mission.
I'll post a link to the Holiday Mountain video for Bump That Bass on the KUTX This Song page. And thanks to both Benjamin and Laura for sitting down and talking about music with me, because it's pretty much the most fun thing to talk about. And that's it. We have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9. This episode was produced and edited by Jack Anderson, David Sanger, and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Jack is now the KUTX Saturday Late Night DJ, and you can hear him every Saturday from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. He'll take you to the club and get you home from the club. The Benjamin Booker interview was recorded by Jake Perlman, and the Laura Patino interview was recorded by me. Thanks to Peter Babb and Deidre Gott for all their help with the podcast. Our social media is being updated and improved and run by the fabulous Antoinette Masando. Welcome to the This Song team, Antoinette. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own most excellent hard-proof Afrobeat. You can email us at thissong@kutx.org. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at thissongkutx. You can like us on Facebook. Thank you, Antoinette, for setting all that up. You can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Liner Notes, Song of the Day, and Austin Music Minute on iTunes. And like I said, we'd love a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.